Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in to the latest Behind the Bets podcast with Doug Kazarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sports book app. We're taping this on Thursday morning, West Coast time. We'll get this posted as soon as we can. I know we got a very critical game tonight with the winless Broncos visiting the winless Jets. Real quick, I just want to apologize to those who've been aching for a UFC pod and even college football as well. I was moving all day yesterday. Schedule's really a two-day move, just crazy. I'm now situated, but just given everything, I had to take the day off. I apologize. All I can do is ask for sympathy to your the loyal listeners and those who are requesting the UFC stuff. Basically, you guys know I don't take vacation. I don't have family stuff. I don't do it. I think I did a pod, Christina, a couple of years ago from like Europe, I want to say. I definitely was in vacation. I've done other stuff. So, Christine, I'm allowed to take one day off on the pod, right?
I think it's okay. I think me, your audience, we can all agree it's okay to take at least one day off.
Well, I apologize. The move, you guys know how it is. Sometimes you got to do things on the first of the month, all that stuff. Look, I tried hard this summer to do all the pod, the golf, the UFC. But I did do this. I did check in with Matthew and Lou, and they had no real strong plays. You can tweet at them if you really are looking for some plays for this weekend's card. It's not the greatest card. Obviously, on Daily Wager, we have tons of content. We had really good stuff on ESPN.com's chalk section. We're going to have some college football picks. NFL picks go up Friday. A lot of content there. We do have Mr. Executive Director John Murray coming up. But I just wanted to just address why we were off. I apologize. We'll be back next week, two pods a week moving forward, and we'll get you a lot of good analysis as the sports calendar, thankfully, is back and we're moving forward. We will touch on the NBA Finals in a little bit with Murray. It's at the end of the pod. We kind of got sidetracked with Bonanza, but we did talk some NBA. The injuries reports were coming up this morning at taping. And not good for the Heat. Obviously, the Lakers take game one, and now it's even seemingly more one-sided. So let's get to the pod with Mr. Executive Director. But before we do that, I want to remind everyone to check out another ESPN podcast that will help you with your fantasy football teams. Make sure you're staying up to date on all your fantasy football news with ESPN fantasy experts Matthew Berry, Field Yates, Stefania Bell, Mike Clay, and Daniel Dopp on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. You'll get daily strategy, previews, and injury reports to ensure you have all the information you'll need for your fantasy football team. Be sure to download and subscribe to Fantasy Focus Football and Behind the Bets on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Another eventful week in the NFL, not just the start of the week with the great Mahomes-Lamar Jackson showdown, the great being the hype, and we have a game canceled and a lot of moving parts as we welcome in Mr. Executive Director. So a busy week of uncertainty for you.
Yeah, no question. We got up the Super Contest lines yesterday, Wednesday. We were fairly confident that they were going to play the Steelers-Titans game either on Monday or Tuesday. And then we got a report this morning that they had a few more positive tests. So we pulled that game off the card. We pulled that game off the board. It's just a weird time right now with these games getting postponed. College football games get postponed all the time. So you got to really, really stay on top of it.
Well, you really do. And it affects so many things, right? Like we talked about it, and we're doing morning shows this week on Daily Wager, and we've had a lot of breaking news in that regard. So every day we've had a twist and a turn on this saga. And you know, the fantasy fallout effect and then the betting with the futures, because this was a battle of first place teams with the Steelers and Titans. So, yeah. You know, makes you wonder. And do you guys adjust anything for the book, like the look ahead line or anything like along those lines?
We closed the week five numbers for both of these teams. Other than that, we're still just kind of waiting to see what happens next. It's hard. Right. It's just hard to, you don't want to do too much when there's still so much uncertainty out there.
Right. Right. Okay. So 2 weeks ago, the book took a bath on that Sunday. Yeah. How did you guys do last week?
We did okay. I mean, I would call it an okay day. We gave back a lot of the money on Sunday Night Football. You know, everybody was on the Packers. Everybody was on the over in the Packers game. So we gave back a lot of our wins from a lot of our win from Sunday on the night game. And then on Monday night, Kansas City, another very popular dog play, not as popular as Green Bay, but they were a very popular play. But what really saved our week in a lot of ways in the NFL was that Monday night game somehow stayed under the total. I don't know how that happened. But
yeah, the closing
everybody
number was 54.5 and 55. And
yeah,
it landed.
And everybody was on the over. I mean, there was a lot of money on Kansas City, but every bet was on the over. So that we really saved that kind of saved our day that game somehow landed on 54. Thanks in no small part to Butker missing that extra point, which would have landed on 55.
Insane.
So that was
insane.
Definitely a pick for us.
So the public wasn't overwhelmingly on the Chiefs there?
They were on the Chiefs. They weren't overwhelmingly on the Chiefs relative to the Green Bay game the night before. I mean, it's always a little unusual when you see the public on Kansas City. It's just relative to what we saw the night before where everybody was on Green Bay. It didn't stand out as much.
Speaking of the Chiefs in that game, I'm kind of stunned at this stat, and I just tweeted it. Patrick Mahomes, ATS in his career, 26-12-1.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's remarkable. I mean, he's so far above. Like, as great as Russell Wilson is, Mahomes is just so far above everybody else right now in the league. And if he's making throws like that, there's just nothing the other team can do to stop them. Like, some of the plays he made on Monday night, some of the plays he made to bring them back the week before against the Chargers, there's just no way you can scheme for that. There's nothing you can do to stop that. When he's on his game, he's just too good to be beat.
I'd say kind of stunned just because, you know, you'd think there'd be a tax that, like, offsetting that popularity and stuff. So that's what I kind of, it's just truly remarkable. Okay, so let's turn the page to this barn burner in Murray. We made a pact. Given that I was relegated to Russian ping pong a lot of the summer, we're never going to complain about bad Thursday night matchups or anything like that. But we have a doozy here. Denver at the Jets, both teams 0-3. Jets are 0-3 ATS as well. And their favorite.
Yeah, and we saw respected money on side and total in this game on Wednesday. They played the Jets at a pick'em. They went over 40. You know, anytime you can double bet on Adam Gase to have success by betting on his team and the over, how do you not do that? So I'm not going to get involved in this game. I'm not going to complain about it out of respect for you. I'm just going to quietly go home and watch baseball, a real sport. But the public or the sharp guys, not the public, the sharp guys, they played the Jets. They played the over. Right now we've got New York -1. We've got a total of 41 at the Superbook.
So I actually do like the Jets, and I kind of do like the over in this. So Jets cannot run the ball. They just can't. And Darnold, remember last year, kind of got like dominated by good teams. But I think the Jets offense, now they're not as good as they were last year, but like did just fine against good teams. Remember they beat Dallas at home and – like, they are much more competent than I think we give them credit for. And given who they've played this year, they've played three really good defenses, the Niners, and then on the road at Buffalo and the Colts. So I'm not saying the Jets aren't bad, but, like, they may be a little bit more competent, and I think they're going to have to throw the ball a bunch. Denver, similarly, Phillip Lindsay's unlikely to play. Their defense is shredded, and, I mean, I know it's Brett Rippon, and they're already on their third-string QB in week four. But I understand the Jets, like, backing up, especially on the short week and the travel. I do see the Jets winning this game.
Well, I am a Sam Darnold apologist. You know that. I still like Sam Darnold. I think he's in a terrible situation. I know he's in a terrible situation with very little talent around him. I think his coach is a bonehead. I don't think this is Sam Darnold's fault, and I think he has the talent there. Denver – he personally has a talent. That team has no talent. I think Darnold should be enough to get the Jets there, but I wouldn't get involved. I'm not going to ruin my Thursday by betting money on Adam Gase, Doug. Just me, personally.
Well, here's a little tease.
It's a personal thing.
I have a play in Baby Bankroll Bonanza in this game, and it's a prop. It's a prop.
Okay.
Okay? Well, that's coming up later.
I'm looking forward to it. Nice tease, man.
Yeah. My colleagues on Daily Wager gave it out this morning, and I just looked at it. I go, that's a winner. And I was like, too late for me to steal it, but I'll steal it and maybe bankroll Bonanza. Okay. Colts, Bears. Yeah, the Chicago Bears, changing quarterbacks and everything. They're 3-0. They are 3-0. Nick Foles, obviously the new man. And I don't know what else to make of this game. I was not a huge Colts guy this year. They've impressed me a little bit the last couple of weeks. They are laying points on the road with Rivers. I'm not excited to do that here, even if it's against the Bears team that I obviously think is not as good as its record. But maybe they're not as bad as people think they are either.
Well, I think you got to give the Bears a little bit of a bump for Nick Foles being in there. I think he's slightly better than Mitch Trubisky. I'm not saying you need to make a drastic adjustment, but I would give them a little bit of a bump with Foles. I think they finally got it right. They've got the right quarterback in there. But I think the Colts gave away that week one game to Jacksonville. The Colts really should be 3-0 after comfortable wins over the Jets and the Vikings. The public is leaning towards the Bears here, but nothing significant. This looks to be a pretty evenly split game. Looks like the most people think the point spread's right on this one.
Okay, fair. And I'm right there with you. Indy Lane 2.5 on the road. New Orleans at Detroit. Sean Payton calling it a gut check game. Saints expected to get Michael Thomas back. They're at a league best 24-9 ATS on the road since the start of 2016. Road favorite, they're 12-4 ATS over that span. They should get right, but the Lions, are they as terrible as we think? I mean, it was a nice win in Arizona. Now, Kyler Murray threw three picks, but I just don't know if I can back Drew Brees, right? Like, when these guys nosedive, they nosedive. We talked about it last week. We learned that in Peyton Manning's final year in Denver, and he's 41. And even if Thomas comes back, I'm going to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt. But I just want no part with the Saints.
Well, no, I don't think the Lions are as bad as some people think they are. If you remember in the preseason, the Lions were a really popular pick by a lot of wise guys to be a surprise team this year. They blow that game week one. They lose. They should have won that game against the Bears. DeAndre Swift drops a touchdown. They would have been 1-0 there. They lose at Green Bay in week two. There's not much shame in that, losing at the Green Bay Packers, who look like they might be the best team in the NFC right now. And then week three, they go on the road and they win at Arizona. So, no, I don't think Detroit's a bad team at all. You know, the public's going to be all over the Saints in this game. We've got the Saints -4. I'm not going to say Detroit's going to be our biggest need in the morning because there's some bigger games down the line here, but Detroit's going to be a pretty big need for the house on Sunday.
If Drew Brees is terrible in this game, and not that he has been, but the dump-offs to Kamara should be better scouted. I get those announcing reports where Drew Brees offered the gig at so-and-so and all that stuff. It's just – it's a steep cliff, I guess we can call it.
Well, he's getting older, and you know how I feel about his backup quarterback, Doug. You know I personally would love to see Jameis in there. I miss Jameis. I don't have a game like it used to be. I'd come into work on Sunday mornings, and I'd position myself to watch the Bucs because I like Jameis Winston. And now I don't know who to watch. There's nobody that interests me anymore.
Are you more of an apologist for Winston or Darnold?
I don't think you need to apologize for a guy that threw 5,000 yards last year. So I'd say Darnold.
30 interceptions.
No, but Jameis is fun. I'm not going to apologize for enjoying a fun quarterback. No way.
He is fun. I will give him that.
Sticking to my guns.
The next game, I'm kind of scared how much I like it. I'm kind of scared. Okay. Arizona laying 4 at Carolina. Teddy Bridgewater is Teddy Covers, 17-4 ATS in his career as a dog. I mean, think about that, 17-4. But I just think this is a fantastic spot to back the Cardinals. Off a loss, they're a little fat and happy, as some people like to say in the betting world. They got a little dose of reality. I think it's back to the drawing board, and they're coming to Carolina with no McCaffrey and that horrible defense. And they're going to come up and put up like a million yards.
Yeah, this will be another pretty big ticket split. You know, we always talk about on this show how the public loves those road favorites. We've got the Cardinals -3.5 even money here. So maybe you'd be better off playing the Cardinals at the Westgate if you do want to play the Cardinals. It's about 3-1 tickets. It hasn't been a real heavily bet game. I know the ticket count's going to be really one-sided in Arizona, but I don't think it's going to be one of the games where we see a lot of money. I think there's other games on the board that are going to attract more money from the public. We have seen It's pretty significant money coming on the under already, though. So we moved it from 51.5 down to 51. Took a 7-dime bet on the under this morning. So not a lot of confidence in Teddy Bridgewater, I guess, this weekend.
What's your limit on like a total this early?
It all depends on who the guest is. But if you were talking about one of the board cleaners that we always mention on this show, the wise guys, we give those people 2,000 on NFL totals during the week.
So the 7K is like a rec player.
He's just a known guy. I wouldn't say he's like some super square at all like that. He's a known customer that's been betting here for years, and we're always comfortable extending limits to players like that.
What would it be if like a casino, because you have a relationship with the casino VIPs and stuff, right? What if a casino host was like, hey, I got this guy who plays 50 large per baccarat in the VIP area, and he just wants to put 100 grand on the over on Sunday. Can you guys just take it?
We'd be more comfortable putting taking a $100,000 bet on an over than an under. Just in general, it seems like the square guys, like that's a rule we have for some of our junior guys on props, like player props. If the guy's coming in here looking to bet you over, it's probably okay. If the guy's coming in here looking to bet you extended limits on every single player prop under, well, you should be careful with that guy. But yeah, of course, if the casino said, hey, this guy's dumping all kinds of money in the casino, we would have to extend him limits because we work in unison with the casino and we're trying to make every department profitable.
And the 7K you just took was on the under, though.
Yeah, but like I said, this is a guy we know. This isn't some guy that's right. just walking gotcha. In Good on point. The street. This isn't a guy that I got a call from a casino host about. I know who that guy is. He's been betting here for years.
And you're Mr. Executive Director. You don't need to call anyone. You make the calls.
I had nothing to do with that decision. You know, to be honest with you, I was on another call at the time. A lot of calls these days, Don.
Yeah,
when
I was
about
to say.
When you don't meet in person anymore, it's just call, 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 call. So very little time for any kind of recognition.
I thoroughly like Arizona, and that will be in the bonanza. We've been hot.
Another tea.
A little hot in the bonanza, tea. Yeah. All right,
yeah, so I like
next game on the board, a little bit lesser profile. Bengals, not just favored by 3 at home to Jacksonville. Jacksonville obviously looked putrid at times in that Thursday night game against Miami, got waxed at home, now on the road. I would imagine this is not a large handle game.
It won't be, and I think one of the concerns with Jacksonville after seeing them on Thursday night against the Dolphins, maybe Jacksonville is exactly who we thought Jacksonville was at the beginning of the season. Maybe they really are that bad. Maybe they really are going to be a team that's in play for Trevor Lawrence in the spring. That's certainly what they look like on Thursday night at home against the Miami Dolphins. They fall behind 28-7 in that game. They looked awful in that game. Joe Burrow has certainly shown flashes that he can be a good NFL quarterback. I think we all agree on that. Not going to be a big handle game. Going to be one of those games relegated to one of the top corner TVs, but there's 9 games at 10 a.m., action is pretty split here so far. Bengals -3, total of 49.
I'm fascinated by the next game because it's two teams that kind of need a win and need a cover, particularly for the backers. Dallas, 4.5 at home against Cleveland. Dallas 0-3 ATS. The only win outright is that comeback that they had with the Falcons and everything. Browns, the only win they have is that third they have 2 outright wins. I apologize. They beat Washington. Nice comeback. Nice cover last week. They only have 1 cover. Yeah. They did not cover with the Bengals, obviously the backdoor. But I want to talk about the total here because it's 56. And we probably should have talked about this at the beginning. But in our database, which is the last 35 seasons for over-unders, 4 teams this week have the franchise's highest over-under for a game. So, like, they're involved. Now, obviously, that's a little bit of the sign of the times. But 7 games across the board with totals in the 50s, that's the most in a single week in the last 35 years. Also, the average is 49.8 for the betting board totals this week, and that's the highest average in 1 week in the last 35 years as well. So my question is, with overs pretty sharp in terms of like sharp advantage, like the overs have hit distinctly more than the unders this season so far, was there a concerted adjustment this week with the totals? Because I see some big numbers that stand out.
Yeah, I think there definitely was. I think you're seeing higher totals just across the board of pretty much league-wide. You have to do that. The scoring is going up. It looks like they're not calling offensive holding as much as they used to. And the players are noticing, and they're betting over in every game. I mentioned earlier in the show, what really saved us this whole weekend was that Monday night game stayed under the total. Or we would have had to pay out all those Chiefs to the over parlays the way we paid out all those Packers to the over parlays on Sunday night. So, yeah, we're going to need, the way we always need a few dogs to cover, we're going to need a few games to go under too. Not a lot of action on the total in this game, but already it's about 4-1 tickets on the over, talking about the Cleveland-Dallas game. And then in the side, everybody's on Dallas. That's not a big surprise that everybody's on Dallas. Cleveland, I think people are looking past them. I know they're 2-1, but they beat the football team and the Bengals at home. So I don't think that they're getting much credit from the betting public for those two wins.
Now, I said on the last couple pods, I forget, it's just like the Browns now are different than the Browns of yesteryear. When they were yesteryear, they were like 0-16. They were just ugly dogs and sharps from taking them. And I think we made a lot of jokes, or at least I did, on this podcast. Now, the last year and a half, it's been different. It's a team that has higher expectations and dropping the ball against good teams and then just kind of like racking up some wins and some fantasy points against like the bad teams like the Jets and the Dolphins and other teams that are bad. This is interesting. This is a true test. I don't think they usually don't belong on the same field when it comes to playing a good team. So that's why I'm so interested in this game for both the Cowboys to get back on track, so to speak, and then also the Browns to see if this year is really different.
I think the question becomes, are the Cowboys a good team? I mean, we'll find out here in the coming weeks, but the Cowboys should be 0-3. You know, Dallas is very, very fortunate. Two reasons they're fortunate. A, that they're not 0-3, because apparently the Falcons don't teach their players the onside kick rules in practice. And then B, that they're in the NFC East, which sucks. The Eagles are bad. Washington's terrible. The Giants might be even worse than Washington. So right now, Dallas, I just got done venting about how they're lucky that they're not 0-3. And meanwhile, we've got them -$4 to win the NFC East here at the Westgate Superbook. Yeah, we had a guy a couple weeks ago bet $25,000 to win $20,000 at -$0.25. That bet looks very good right now. And then just yesterday, we had him at -$3, and a guy came in and he laid $30,000 on that. So we got them as a $4 favorite to win this division and get a home playoff. And they're lucky that they're not 0-3. So a very weird year for the Cowboys so far. How good are the Cowboys? I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Well, the losses are excusable at the Rams in a nail biter and at the Seahawks. But with that being said, they didn't look great at home. I actually am willing to throw out the Falcons game just given all the fumbles in the first quarter. Like, that doesn't happen. Then you just got to throw it out. It just is what it is. But even though they came back, got the win. So I'm a believer in the Cowboys. I was at the beginning of the season. I said the Eagles are not as well coached without Frank Reich, and I just don't buy into him and all those injuries. It's just like a leap of faith that the injuries will even stop. So we'll see about that game. I think Cleveland's got to put up or shut up one of these days and kind of win a game against a tough opponent as a dog. Minnesota at Houston. So I know you guys took down the line when these reports surfaced, but how are you handling it with the uncertainty, although no positive tests for the Vikings? It was a precautionary move initially this week.
So far with the Minnesota-Houston game, we've kind of been business as usual. We've got the game on the betting board. We've got the game on the Super Contest card. We really haven't been given any reason to think that these guys won't play this game on Sunday morning. Obviously, this is 2020. We could get news before this show is even published that no longer is the case. But as of right now, we're moving forward as if it's a normal game. I can tell you the bettors are completely ignoring it. I don't know if maybe they're thinking maybe the game will get canceled, or they just don't care about the matchup. But it's the least bet game of the 10 a.m. games here at this book. We got way more tickets even on that Jacksonville-Cincinnati game.
That's surprising. I think it's because of the uncertainty. You don't want to, like, tie up parlays or whatever, legs and things like that. That makes sense, the uncertainty. All right, Murray, another game I like. Seattle at Miami. Seattle's a good football team, but I heard some ridiculous stats about their defense. It's bad. Mm-hmm. But they're 3-0.
The Seahawks defense is really struggling. Jamal Adams, a very talented player, but he's a guy that takes a lot of chances on the back end. He can give up long throws. Russell Wilson has been incredible. I think he threw 5 touchdown passes on Sunday against Dallas, And that was even with DK Metcalf dropping the ball at the 1 yard line like an idiot when he could have just walked in for a sixth touchdown for Russell Wilson. I don't know what more Russell Wilson can possibly do for Seattle right now. It also makes me think that maybe Seattle should have let Russell Wilson loose years ago. That's another conversation for another day. Everybody's on Seattle here. You know we're going to need Miami. It's probably going to be our second biggest need of the morning games.
So Seattle's played some big games, right? Last week against Dallas at home, the week, obviously, the goal line stand against the Patriots. Like, at some point, there's going to be a little bit of an egg laid, right?
You would think, and I mean, there's only so many weeks in a row that you can get up in the NFL, and this trip out to Miami for this game, after the big win over the Cowboys, after that big win on Sunday Night Football, I believe that Seattle is back on Sunday Night Football again next week. I think they play at home against Minnesota next week on Sunday night. So this could be a traps-type spot for the Seahawks here.
It says pros versus Joes written all over it. And, yes, it is Vikings at Seattle next Sunday night. So here's the thing. Paul Charchian, heard him on the radio talking about, so I guess the Seahawks have given up more yards to opposing wide receivers than anyone else in the NFL. And it's like obscenely large, right? It's like 400 yards more than the second most. And I think Miami's team total is the play. So you're looking at an over-under in the game of 53.5, 54. So let's say it's half of that is 27. And then you subtract half of the spread, so 3. So you're looking at a team total of about 24 for Miami. I think they get there with Fitzpatrick and his arm that they just will make him throw 75 times in a game. And I think the team total over for the mammals is the play.
Well, I can't argue because you know Russell Wilson is going to get his, which will keep Miami needing to score. And I don't know if Seattle is capable of stopping Miami from scoring. So that would make sense. Most of the money here, obviously, is on Seattle. A lot of tickets to the over. We've got the total here at the Westgate at 53.5. We're going to need the Dolphins in this game. We're going to need this game to go under. There's no other way to say it. That's just how it's going to be.
I just don't trust Miami's defense. That's why I'm isolating the team total. So, I wouldn't be shocked if Seattle covered because it's still early enough in the season where these flat spots may not wreak havoc as significantly. And Fitzpatrick's also prone to like the pick six or whatever. Chargers at Tampa Bay. I saw that Chargers performance coming a mile away. I was looking at Chargers in a teaser. I'm like, nope. They had the big game against Kansas City. Everyone's writing off Carolina. This has all the makings of Carolina winning. And they did. So Justin Herbert now on the road for the first time. And Tampa was 7, may potentially no Godwin here. It's unlikely that Godwin plays, but Tampa's the only side I would consider here.
Yeah, so this is a flip the switch. Last week, the Chargers were the hot team coming in after they took Kansas City to the wire. Now everybody's written off the Chargers. Tampa Bay looks like the most popular public side of the week in the NFL, at least until we get to the Monday night game. Everybody's on the Bucs. We're going to need to we'll need the Chargers big in this game. Every money line parlay has already got the Bucs in it, teasers with the Bucs. It's early, but it looks like the Chargers are going to be our biggest need of the week in the NFL.
Interesting. The biggest
need. At least as far as Sunday is concerned, Doug, because depending on how many favorites win on Sunday, you could have a ton of money rolling into Green Bay on Monday night. But I think as far as the Sunday games are concerned, right now, and this is Thursday morning in Vegas, the Chargers look like the biggest need of the week for us.
That does surprise me. So, we have so the Pittsburgh-Tennessee game is canceled in their final 1 o'clock Eastern start. The football club hosting Baltimore. I call it FC. The soccer. 13. Well, Baker's dozen here for Lamar Jackson and company. I was disappointed, but I was also – you talked about the penalties and the lack thereof decrease in the offensive side of the ball helping the overs, and obviously that's been documented and that's certainly justified. Look, the Ravens got the field goal, gave up the touchdown to Mahomes, and on the way back they had that bogus tripping call on a long gain. I mean, they're looking at another first down at midfield, and who knows, maybe they're up 10-7 after one, right? So – those offensive penalties can be backbreakers. Look, if you commit a holding call on 2nd and 18 on, and it's like no big deal. If you do it on this that kills a drive, like that's a big deal.
Sure. Especially when you're going against Patrick Mahomes and, you know, the way that that game was going, it looked like you were going to need to match him score for score all night to be able to win. I thought Lamar Jackson was a little unfairly criticized in that game. His receivers didn't do anything to help him. And his defense certainly couldn't get off the field at all. I don't think this is going to be a big handle game this week, though, Doug. I don't think that many people are going to – people are not going to be in a rush to lay two touchdowns. Even as ridiculously bad as football team is, this is a game that the public doesn't really like to lay these huge numbers, like 13 on the road. They would rather lay a 3.5 or a 4 on the road. They don't want to lay touchdowns. I don't think this is going to be – people will throw the Ravens into their money line parlays, which I think is silly, but that's another conversation.
Because it doesn't help the odds, right?
I don't see a point to doing that. Not that Baltimore is going to win the game, but I don't – there's just no – to me, there's no reason to do that. But I don't think this is going to be a really high-handle game. I think this big number is going to scare a lot of people off the game.
Yeah. No, you've talked about that a lot in the past. The double digits don't generate that much handle. I will say this. Baltimore, last time they were a double-digit favorite, they lost to Tennessee outright. They are 36-0. And the only team in the NFL that's undefeated – in that situation when laying double digits in a regular season game. So obviously they lost Tennessee in the playoffs, but how about this stat? This was fascinating because it is early in the season. It's a big number to be laying early before we've established who the bad teams are. Just the sixth time in the last 40 years, there's been at least a 13-point favorite on the road in the NFL, all five previous times won and covered. So laying big lumber for a reason. That's only five games, but it's still kind of fun, you know, kind of fun to nerd out a little bit on these betting stats, but I'm with you. I'm not even sure I'd use Baltimore in a eliminator. I don't like road. I mean, I just don't know what that – Washington's not that bad. They're not.
Dwayne Haskins is that bad.
They're not that good. Yeah, Haskins is not good. But, like, as a whole, they're not that bad. They're not that good. But they're probably, like, the eighth worst team and not, like, the bottom three.
Well, the Washington's a little bit banged up on the defensive line. You know, Chase Young is out. Matt Ioannidis is out for the year. Or Ioannidis is out for the year. Their best offensive lineman, Brandon Scherff, is out for the year, too. So you're already seeing a lot of attrition on the lines for Washington. Morgan Moses is questionable. They might just get manhandled in the trenches here. And without those key defensive linemen, Lamar Jackson might run wild on this defense. I don't see how you – I agree with you, though. Like, I would never really be in a rush to lay two touchdowns. There's got to be somewhere else you can put your money.
Pick'em purposes, if I had to, I'd pick Baltimore in my pick'em pools. Let's go to the 4 o'clock games. What'd you think of the little bit better distribution of the early and late games?
Well, we like it much better when it's, for instance, 8 and 5. It's much better for handle. The worst for us is when it's like 10 a.m. games and 3 afternoon games. We don't like that at all. I don't know why they do that. And then this week, it looked like it was 10-3. Now it's 9-3 because the Steelers got postponed. Is that right? I don't know. I know why they do it. I'm sure CBS paid a premium for this Patriots-Chiefs game, and they want all the other games to get out of its way. I get that. But it's not as good for handle as if it's a little bit more divided between the morning and the afternoon.
Rams suffer their first loss of the year. Controversial, to say the least. A pretty atrocious call, if you ask me. They're laying 13 as well at some shops, mostly 12.5. The Giants, a sheet pick a week ago, and I just shook my head. I'm like, you can't just take 3.5 or 3 with the Giants. Sure enough, but this game's in L.A. This is probably going to be my survivor pool pick. I'm not laying 13, though, either.
Well, Buffalo was lucky. You're absolutely right. That was a very questionable call. Put that nicely, kind of gave the game to the Bills at the end there. We got the Rams with a 12.5-point favorite. Everybody's betting the Rams. People are not going to look to bet the Giants. The Giants are just a disaster. I mean, as bad as Washington is, the Giants might be even worse than Washington. I don't even know what the Giants have to look forward to right now other than potentially getting the first overall pick and getting Trevor Lawrence. There's really just nothing to like right now with that New York team. No interest in this game for me personally, and it's just going to get absolutely dwarfed. I mean, even with just 3 afternoon games, this game is still going to get lost in the shuffle because the other two games are both so good. I don't think you're going to see a lot of money on this Giants-Rams game at all.
Yeah, the marquee game is the one at Arrowhead. Kansas City, another big game off the big game at Baltimore. They're laying a full seven here with New England, and I understand the spread, and I just mentioned Mahomes' ridiculous stat, but Belichick no slouch, ATS. We know about that, and he's a beast. 9-2 ATS when catching at least seven.
Yeah, and the Chiefs are off a short week. That was a great win for them on Monday night. I'm not taking anything away from them, but everything was kind of pointed to that Monday night game in Baltimore. Maybe that's what happened to them against the Chargers the week before. Maybe they were looking past the Chargers to that Baltimore game. Now they're off that emotional win. New England looked very good on Sunday. They easily took care of a solid Raiders team. New England's one goal line stand away from being 3-0 themselves. So the Patriots are a tough team. I think you're going to see some sharper guys getting involved with New England here. We've already gone to +7, -120 on New England. Everyone's betting the over. No surprises there. I don't know. I think you might see some sharp players on the Patriots in this game. Should be a great game. I actually think the next game is going to do bigger handle in Nevada, though. I know that nationally, New England, Kansas City is a big game. I get that. But here in Nevada, here in Las Vegas, I think this next game might be the biggest game of the week handle-wise.
Yeah, so Raiders, unfortunate situational spot. You and I sniffed it out. We were on New England last week. Just like I anticipated, Belichick did whatever he did, took Waller out of the game, and they got the cover. And it was a nice, clean win for the Patriots. But now Vegas is back at home, catching a full three to a Buffalo team that's still a little banged up at linebacker. It's a big ask here. And I think the Raiders could grind them out for the win.
I don't disagree with that at all. You know, the Raiders are a solid team. They took care of business their first two games. They had a terrible spot last week that we talked about on the last show. Very difficult early time slot against New England on the road there. And New England was off a loss. It was about as bad of a situation as you could ever have. Buffalo's pretty banged up. They got Micah Hyde questionable for Sunday as well. A couple key guys there on their defense look like they're hurt. I think this is going to be a lot of two-way action. I think it might be the most heavily bet game of the week other than the Monday night game. I think you're going to see a lot of money both ways here. I've heard whispers a lot of Bills fans are going to be in town, even though they can't actually go to the game. I think it's going to be a very heavily bet game in Las Vegas.
I think you're going to need the under. Going on a limb there, I think you're going to need the under big.
Oh, we always need the under. I mean, geez. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Both teams 3-0 to the over this year so far.
Josh Allen is playing great. You know, Josh Allen's playing great. I know there's nothing Josh Allen can do if Aaron Donald just throws the offensive guard to the ground and immediately – I don't know what Josh Allen is supposed to do about that. I don't blame him at all for that. So some of those – that I think it was a fumble in the fourth quarter. Well, his guard has to give him more than half a second to make up his mind. I don't think you pin that on Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen's playing at a very high level.
Aaron Donald blowing up offensive lines. Oh. It's kind of like – it reminds me of, you know, when you watch fun old recruiting video of, like, total studs in college and, like, the grainy, like, either mom shot it or it's just, like – and you just see these, like, guys who just jump off the screen. Like Myles Garrett in high school was almost, like, the same size as Myles Garrett now. Like, watching his high school footage and, like, some photos that like, pop up on Twitter or whatever – it's remarkable how much like of a cyborg he looks like, you know, just compared to like some dude who's a air quote late bloomer and like kind of a guy who's like the worst team in their league who has to like try to block him or something. It's as long as no one's getting hurt, it's hilarious. But Aaron Donald does that in the NFL. Like he does NFL offensive line.
It's unbelievable.
Just jumps off the screen.
Well, that one play that I'm referencing was around midfield and Donald just discarded of the guard and basically just took the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. And if you're Josh Allen, I don't know what you can do about that, frankly. If Aaron Donald wants to take the ball from you, he's going to be able to.
There was footage of him, I think it's week two or week three, where he literally, I think, took out three guys. Like he came across right to left and moved the right guard into the center. And then like another guy, like in the back, tried to chip him. He barrels through him. It's pretty ridiculous. It's pretty ridiculous.
He's a decent player. He's pretty good.
He's pretty good. He'll never win MVP, right? Like, he'll never – I mean, he'll get defensive player.
I don't think so because you know, the league has gone so much to the passing game, the passing stats. I mean, look at the numbers that Russell Wilson and Josh Allen are putting up. And then they're probably a notch below Patrick Mahomes. So I don't know how a non-quarterback could win anymore, especially a defensive player.
Long gone are the days of LT, right? That was
sure.
That was a different era then when he would be appreciated in that regard. Okay, my friend. You know what half it's time for?
Halftime.
Well, the Sunday night game?
Oh, yeah. We got to go to the Sunday night game. I apologize. I thought it was bonanza time. And you got some halftime noise in the back. What's going on there?
Yeah, you know, we got a few things going on here. We got baseball playoffs going on. No, you're right. We do need to we can quickly go. There's nothing to say on the Sunday night game. Can I tell you that? The Sunday night game.
Yeah, please.
There's not a lot of betting interest in the game. I think what you're going to end up with is a lot of money line parlays going to the 49ers here. But really, there's not a whole lot of betting interest in this game. I'd keep an eye on the injury reports, hearing some positive things. Maybe Debo Samuel is back this week. George Kittle, maybe. Philadelphia's got a lot of guys hurt, too. So you really got to keep an eye on the injury report as we get closer to Sunday night before you make a move on that one.
Yeah, Kittle's expected to play. Debo's definitely like a question mark. Keep an eye.
Yeah.
Philly started as a favorite in the first three games each of the past 2 years, an 0-3 ATS out of the gates. You mentioned the NFC East odds. Remarkable. For me, I think I'd be heavily invested in a Niners tease. You know I love this team in terms of, like, their locker room, their core chemistry. Like, I just think they're just such a solid and reliable team. You know, I loved them in week 2 to get the job done against the Jets. They're just a professional sports organization from the top to the bottom. And I just like – I think they got a wake-up call in week 1 against the Cardinals. It was a nice win for Arizona. I just don't count out the Niners just yet in the playoff hunt.
Well, I agree with that. And the 49ers, very impressive with the way they handled business, their 2 New York games. I know both those teams suck, but the 49ers had so many guys out. It was still impressive with how easily they handled those 2 games.
Yeah, and they're basically the opposite of Philly. Philly's just inept. They find ways to screw things up. They find injury. It's just not a top-rate organization. They're the opposite of the Niners in that regard. Now, they're not a disaster and dumpster fire like maybe Washington was the last few years with all those reports that have surfaced. But just Philly is just not reliable, I guess is the best way to put it.
I don't disagree, but we'll need Philly there to at least win the game. I'm sorry, at least cover. If they can win the game, it'd be even better. But what we're going to need here on Sunday is if we don't get the Chargers or the Patriots or the Eagles or the Dolphins to win, if we don't get any of those 4, we're going to have all this moneyline parlay and teaser liability going to the Packers on Monday night. And then you might see this Monday night line go up a little bit. Because it's already building up. The parlays are already building up. Everybody is betting Green Bay. No one is looking to bet on Dan Quinn. And I don't blame you if you're not looking to bet on Dan Quinn. There's got to be something better you could do with your income than bet it on Dan Quinn. The Packers are going to be a huge liability on Monday Night Football.
So, by the way, like, obviously after the onside kick, the Dan Quinn hot seat thing surfaced, we got no buzz on Dan Quinn. Like, I saw some guy on Monday tweet. He's like, wait, Dan Quinn's still employed?
Arthur Blank has just shown unbelievable loyalty to this guy. I mean, I'm not even kidding. Like, it's incredible. Because they started 1-7 last year, I believe. And that one win was a fortunate Sunday night win against the Eagles, where they easily could have lost. Arthur Blank just has no interest. I don't know if Dan Quinn's got like some balloon payment and he is trying to get fired and Arthur Blank doesn't want to pay it to him, so he's refusing to fire him. I don't know what's going on. But
so that was the game where Aguilar dropped it, right? Aguilar dropped the ball down the sideline.
I think they would have, if I remember that correctly, they would have started the year 0-8 if they'd lost that game. And Dan Quinn is still their coach.
It is surprising. So it's a Monday night. I'm surprised you're going through the key number. 6.5, 7. There's some 7.5 there. You can go even higher. Look, it's one thing to not win and all that. Like, Packers defense is not that good. And if Davante Adams doesn't play, I mean, I might have to look at grabbing the points with the Falcons.
You know, if you see this number come down, it means that a very sharp group or a respected syndicate is on Atlanta. Because the public is all over Green Bay. So if you see this thing come down, you don't need anybody to tell you what happened. It means that some sharp money came in on the Falcons.
All right. I think on that game is going to be part of the bonanza. So let's get to it.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, Mr. Director, I took it easy last week. Bankroll management, very, very strong. Only $300 on New England. I was a little worried. Then the number started going up. And, you know, we talk about it. When the number starts going your way, you start to feel more confident, even though it's a bad, worse number. But I got there. You had New England as well. But you also had Baltimore on Monday night, and they did not cooperate.
I like losing those. I like to lose that way, though. Because, like, you could tell, right, like, pretty much in the first quarter, like, okay, they can't get off the field. The game's over. Like, wouldn't you rather lose that way than have to sit through the whole four-hour game?
It depends. It just depends on the situation. You know, I know what you mean. I can identify. Sometimes I like to sweat it out, though. If they got nothing else to fire on, you can maybe get a live line. Sometimes I've done this. If I'm on a money line, I'll just get out of it and eat a little bit of juice, right? Like, if you can get out and abort and not obviously scalping is always preferred, but if you can't scalp and you're just like, all right, you know, I'll just eat it and just avoid disaster. I've done that and taken it on the chin, but it's not a haymaker, at least.
Right. Right. You got to avoid those haymakers, especially in the NFL. I'd be careful putting yourself in a position to take a haymaker in the NFL. These numbers are pretty good, and this is a pretty tough market to beat.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, bud. So I'll go on the tee box first. I like a lot of games. We'll start with Sam Darnold that I said I have a prop bet for tonight. It's on Sammy D. Probably need to work on that nickname. But Darnold, over 1.5 passing touchdowns, plus 150. I'll do 500 on that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, like we said at the top of the show, we've seen sharp money on the Jets and the over. So that group, or those groups that were betting that, certainly would agree with that play. It's hard to imagine the Jets winning and going over without a very good game from Sam Darnold, because there's really nothing else to like on that team.
And the Broncos' calling card over the last few years has been pressure, and they're just not getting it. So, like, it's just not there, no Von Miller, obviously. So there's a lot of reasons to suggest this, like, Denver thing is not really. And then they're on their, like, quarterback, that's third string, so maybe – fewer possessions, fewer time of possession, at least, so like more opportunities for Darnold, and you're plus 150. I had to jump at that. Only a nickel, but we'll take it.
I don't like how conservative you're being this year. Have I told you that yet?
It's you have, but we have five players kinda, this week. So is that conservative for you, five players?
I don't like anything this week at all. There's not even one game on the board I like, but I'll make a pick just for the good of the show, and then I'm just gonna mute my phone and let you go nuts. I'll do 550 to win 500 on New England plus 7 minus 110. That's available at most of the books here in Nevada are at 7 flat. We are at plus 7 minus 20, but just about everybody else seems to be at 7 flat. So I'll just do New England, and then I'm just gonna give you the floor, man. Do what you're doing.
So you went for a nickel on that 500.
Yeah, I'll do 550 to win 5 on Mr. Belichick. He's a pretty good coach.
Yeah, you're fading Mahomes, though. All right, 26-12-1. Yeah. So is that your Musburger pick?
No, we you know what? We didn't really have anything for Brent. We gave him the Lions, but I don't even like that. I mean, I told Brent that I wouldn't bet on the NFL with his money, and he laughed. But hopefully Brent just makes 5 picks on his own. It's his money.
You were good to him last year. He's a little slow out of the gates. That's okay.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help. I'm not getting any support from any of the guys here. You know, I said that yesterday. I asked Ed and Jeff, Ed Sammons, Jeff Sherman, nothing. They couldn't even give me anything. Like, great, thanks.
Sherman's worried about the Lakers. Who are we talking about? Who are we kidding?
Worried about what?
I know. Well, now we don't. I was going to ask you at the very end. Like, you know, this line's gone up from 7 this morning at Circa. It's now 9.5. Drawing
right,
it
and that's
unlikely.
And you're right. 24 hours ago, this series looked very different. We're talking about the NBA Finals. The Lakers win game one very easily last night. Dragic is hurt. Adebayo's hurt. We've got the Lakers minus 9.5 right now. We've got a series price of Lakers minus 4,000, Heat at 14-1 to come back and win this series. So you're right. 24 hours ago, you could be nervous about the Lakers, but I think you're okay now if you're a Lakers fan.
Well, we got a little sidetrack. I'm going to come back to my picks in a sec. But since we're on the topic, I was going to text you, like, what the hell are you guys thinking? But I wanted to, I was moving yesterday. I was trying to get over there and bet it. So I didn't want to text you, but how did you guys have LeBron at minus -150 to win the MVP? Like, I thought the fair line was like 275. I really did.
Well, Anthony Davis, I thought had a great game last night as well. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I wouldn't, would it be that shocking if Davis won the MVP? I don't know.
Well, no,
I mean,
LeBron, and that's why it's 340. Well, the series price was 340 at the time. So 150, like offshore world was like $2, $250 and $3. Like I think 250, 275. I mean, 150 was like ridiculous. I thought. Because there's only two
guys.
Well,
it's a little different when you've got the two best players, like by far the two best players in this series are both on the Lakers. Anthony Davis is by far the best teammate LeBron's ever had. Don't listen to anybody that tells you differently.
Okay, so there's by really, far more the, better than prime Wade?
I don't think LeBron played with prime Wade. I don't think that by the time LeBron got there, that I don't think prime Wade, we could have a conversation. I would still say Davis is better. I don't think LeBron played with prime Dwayne Wade. I would even say that by those last 2 years, LeBron was in Miami, Wade was clearly on the downside of his career, really wasn't an elite player anymore. Anthony Davis is in the prime of his career. He's maybe a top three player in the NBA, and I don't think LeBron's ever had a teammate like that, no.
Okay, I guess that makes sense because we used to wonder if Kyrie was better than the Wade that LeBron played with. So you're right. I've kind of like my timeline got a little off, so that's fair. No, I just like AD with their starting Howard and McGee, I liked under 9.5 rebounds. Now he just got there with 9. But remember, against Denver, he's getting like 2 and like 4. So while AD may score a little bit more, LeBron almost had a triple-double. So, like, I just think – I don't see a scenario where, like, they don't win the series without LeBron. I mean, everything goes through him. He's LeBron. Obviously, he's going to win the ties, so to speak. But unless AD had, like, 2 buzzer beaters, I just – would I be shocked? Of course not. But I was shocked at the difference in the price at 150 versus the series price. That was my point. And I tweeted it out because we didn't have a pod yesterday. Why I thought it should have been like 250-ish. And then maybe it's offset it a little bit with AD money. But
it's very unique to have a superstar of LeBron's caliber, such an all-time legend, and he might actually not be the best player on the team. I think that he is. I think LeBron is the best player on the team, but – if you told me you thought Davis was better, I wouldn't think you were crazy. Whereas other point in LeBron's career, if you told me that his teammate was better than him, I would just immediately dismiss you and say you have no idea what you're talking about. Davis, you can make a good case that he is as good as LeBron James.
I think for me to come off that was like the finishing game for Denver when he hit the threes and all that. Like I was like, okay, LeBron is like still like can flip the switch, so to speak. Like, AD is so valuable, you know, hit the three and do it all. But you're right. I don't know. I'm willing it. I need LeBron to get the MVP. Let's just put it that way. I'm invested.
I'm rooting for you.
We took a circle route to get to the next few plays on the Bonanza. But I like Arizona. If I lose against Teddy Covers, so be it. But it's just a great spot to bet the Cardinals. I think that they know the division's really tough. They took the loss kind of like, you know, They were comfortable. They got caught sleeping at the wheel a little bit at home, flat spot. Now they're going on the road. I just trust them. I love the money line, but for these purposes, I'll put $1,500 on Arizona -3.5.
Okay, that's your biggest bet of the year, right?
Yeah. How about even?
Well, I don't. I think $1,500 flat. Yeah. I mean, I know we're going to need Carolina. I'm not going to be sitting here rooting against you personally, but I know the book will need the Panthers here. I like Matt Rhule. But Arizona, obviously, a far more talented team. And Matt Rhule, Joe Brady, that Panthers organization, they're kind of beginning their rebuilding period there. DeAndre Hopkins is currently listed as questionable officially for that. But keep an eye on DeAndre Hopkins.
I'm expecting Fitzgerald to get back on track.
Larry Fitzgerald's my favorite player in the NFL. I would never root against Larry Fitzgerald. Impossible.
Well, there you go. I'm trying to look this up. Do we have a team total anywhere?
We'll get those.
William Hill, 23.5, -115 on the over. So I'm going to do a dime on that over 23.5.
And that is for the
Miami Dolphins. The mammals over 23.5. Fitzmagic, bring it home. Got another play for you.
What's that? Go ahead. No, go ahead. I was going to give some analysis, but I didn't know that you just keep piling these plays behind him. Go ahead.
I'm going to dip my toe in with the Texans. I told you last week, I said there's going to be good spots for the Texans. I said that their first three games, they face the two best teams in the league in Baltimore and Chiefs, and then they get the Steelers in Pittsburgh, and they showed flashes. They had the lead. Pittsburgh battled and came back and grinded. And I think -4.5 against a Minnesota team that I don't think is very good. Who knows with the COVID stuff with that? I can't help the situation, right? I can't help the Vikings, all the distractions sure. and the potential cancellations. So I think they get back on track and they get the nice cover. I'll put a nickel, though, because I got to see it to believe it. I think that's a good spot to back them.
That's -4.5, right, on Houston?
Correct, correct.
You know, they have played the hardest schedule in the NFL. I don't think anybody would dispute that. And they were a really sharp side last week. Houston was a team that went from +6. They closed -3.5 here. They led a lot of that game. They gave up a late touchdown, a late two-point conversion, and Pittsburgh got the cover. But it was really Houston that was covering most of the way there, and they were a very sharp side last week.
Yeah, we talked about that. I knew the sharp money came in early, drove the price down. And when I saw that score early, I'm like, are you effing kidding me? I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, damn it, these guys are going to just sniff this cover out. And then the two-point conversion, I'm like, oh, that's tough. They beat the closing number by 2.5 points, 3.5 points, and they still get the two-point conversion to burn them. So that was a tough one. And Murray, we got the bigger play here. We got a big one here. Now, for those who don't like to go big, this is like something you and I have talked about for 15 years. I remember we were like going through this. So 10 years ago, if you like a team, but you don't like another team in a teaser equally, but you like it, what you do is you do like four different teasers with the one team. And then your other four, you do a different team if you like four different. You know what I'm saying? You mix it up. So you're heavily invested in one, especially if you do open teasers. You don't need to do a big one. Just do a bunch of small open ones. If you end up liking another team, you close them all at the same team. Gives you flexibility. Gives you bankroll management. So if you like something for $1,000 open teaser, open parlay, just do a bunch of 200s. You can always close them at the same time on the same team. All right?
Yeah.
Option. Okay, so I'm going Niners in a tease, and I'm going to do Green Bay with the intent that this line's going to go up, and I'm going to play back Packers plus like 8.5. Falcons. Play back plus Falcons for a little mini hedge, hoping the Niners get there, and then we have like something to work with, and maybe even a live wager Twitter middle there, huh?
That could be the only thing that would get me to watch the Monday Night Football game. Would be knowing that Doug Kazarian out there may have a live tweet for the middle. Otherwise, it'll be all baseball playoffs for me. I can tell you that.
I'm just saying, you're lucky in the bank, baby bankroll bonanza. I didn't do the Seahawks -3.5 against the Patriots and come back.
That
would have been a nice little middle. Okay, so I have to recap: 500 on Sam Darnold over 1.5 passing touchdowns plus 150. 1,500, Arizona -3.5 flat. A dime on the Dolphins over 23.5 team total, -15. Texans, a nickel, -4.5, -110. And then a 2K teaser. Niners, actually, let's just do money line parlay. I don't want to get land on one, bushes, all that nonsense. So I'm going to figure it out at another point. It's either going to be a 6.5-point tease or a money line parlay, whichever one's cheaper. So we'll do that. We're going to do it live on the pod here. But I'm either going to be -0.5 on both or money line parlay. So it's -0.5, -0.5 or money line parlay for two dimes. And then you're a nickel on New England +7, -110.
You're going to have to get your people to get with my people to give me what exactly you have. I can't remember all that.
We got it documented. I'll text you so you know what to root for or against. Come Sunday and Monday. Like you said, but Mr. Executive Director, always fun. It is, I used to drag my feet, and I know you do too. I do love the NFL. Those Sundays with all those games going on, Twitter going nuts, all the action, pick 'em, survivors, all that. It's still nothing beats it.
It's good. It's very good for business. It gets a lot of people in the door. It gets a lot of people excited. All we need is a couple dogs to break up some parlays, and it'll be another very successful weekend here at the Westgate. Otherwise, won't be pretty. But it's okay. No one's going to feel sorry for us.
No. Something tells me you'll get those dogs at some point. But you've also taught me, you and I've written articles, the public gives it back eventually, whether it be that night at the tables, that night, other games, half times. The money doesn't go home and doesn't leave Las Vegas.
Well, what we're always analyzing in all seriousness is when we have a bad day, one of the things we ask the guys at the end of the night to do is kind of send out a report of who beat us that day. What kind of players did we lose to that day? And sometimes, even if we have a really bad day, like we had two Sundays ago, when I saw the names of the customers that beat us, I just said, okay, what are you going to do? We'll get all that money back. If you're losing to players like that, you'll get it back. What you want to make sure you're not doing is losing money to your smartest players week after week. Then you're not doing your job correctly.
Well said. And that's the beauty of your technology. You can profile, you can track, you can do all that stuff.
Yes,
make
sir.
Make sure you guys are putting yourself in the best position to succeed.
Absolutely.
All right, my man. Great chat with you as always, and we'll touch base next week.
Yep. Talk to you later, buddy.
Sounds to me like you guys a couple of bookies.
Okay, that does it for this edition of the Behind the Bets podcast. We thank everyone for staying loyal and listening, and I know there's a lot of moving parts throughout the week. Sometimes we post this a little later. It's just the way it is on schedules and time difference and all that fun stuff. So thanks to John Murray, and thanks to all of you. Again, apologies for yesterday. Just so much stuff going on with work. And the early showtime this week because of the baseball playoffs. We'll be back to our usual time slot next week, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific on ESPN2 for Daily Wager. And also Sunday mornings we're still doing at 9 a.m. That means 6 a.m. West Coast. So it's a bright and early wake-up call, but it's fun. Sets the table for the rest of the day in football. So thanks to everyone. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled podcast next week, and hopefully I'll be celebrating another big win in the Bonanza. Until next time, enjoy everything this weekend. Good luck. And we'll check back with you next week here on the Behind the Bets podcast.